Thank you for tuning in to the World Overcomers podcast. On behalf of our senior pastor, Andy Thompson, we appreciate your continued support and generosity. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast to receive updates when we post new content every week. To learn more about World Overcomers or Pastor Andy, please visit worldovercomers.church. Enjoy the message.
Judges chapter number 7, verse 1 says, early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all of his men camped at the spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. And the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. Judges 7, right? Am I off? Judges 7. He said, my own strength. He said, you have too many men. I can't deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, there's still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I'll thin them out for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go, he will not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water, where there the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as dogs from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs, and all the rest got down on their knees to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lap like dogs, I'm going to save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who lapped like dogs, who took over the positions and trumpets of the others. Judges chapter number 6 and verse number 39. Gideon says to God, do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. That night, God did that, and only the fleece was dry, and all the ground was covered with dew. Title of my message this morning is, nothing but the dog in me. Nothing but the dog in me. Bow your head, let me pray for you. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us just now in these next 20 minutes. Speak a word to us and heal us from the door of death. Snatch us from death's door, and we'll praise you, and we'll bless you, and we'll honor you for what you do, what you say, what you make of us. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. You may be seated. In the name of the Lord, nothing but the dog in me. Why must I be like that? Nothing but the dog in me. If I can draw your attention to that passage right there in verse number 39, where Gideon says to God, now Lord, don't be angry with me. Let me just make one more request and allow me one more test with this fleece, and this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. For those of us who went to Sunday school, who are familiar with Gideon and familiar with this story, we will all admit that the main thing that we think about when we think about Gideon is the fleece. For most of us who are familiar with our Bibles, the Old Testament, Gideon and fleece go together. Now, the fleece, very often people will say that, I put out a fleece. I don't know if you've ever heard anyone say that spiritually. Yes, I put out a fleece. I know for some of us, when we think fleece, we think some warm thing that you put on that we call a fleece. This is what we think of as a fleece. But when Christians say fleece, when believers say fleece, in a sense what they mean is, they're referring to this story of Gideon, in which Gideon lays out this fleece, and first he says, God, I want the ground to be wet and the fleece to be dry. I want the ground to be dry and the fleece to be wet. That's what he says at first. If you really are with me, I want the ground dry and the fleece wet. And he wrings out the fleece, and there's a bowl full of water. And then in the verse I just read, he says, now, Lord, don't be angry with me. Let me just test one more time. This time, let the fleece be dry and let the ground be wet. And it is what we know Gideon to be about. And I want to begin my presentation by asking a question, and that is it okay if you're not sure? Are you sure? Ask somebody, are you sure? Go on, ask somebody else. Are you sure? I've said it in this pulpit, and I've said it on Twitter, and I guess I'll say it again. It's amazing to me how sure the unsuccessful are and how unsure the successful are. Sometimes the people that talk the most sure are the biggest losers. Sometimes they're fronting like they're sure because who they're really arguing against is themselves. And very often you'll talk to somebody who's really very successful, actually quite accomplished, actually has quite a bit going on. And when they talk to you, they sound as if they're not exactly sure what the next thing is. Be careful not to be tricked by somebody who sound more confident than they possibly could be. There's really nothing wrong with being unsure. Not only am I asking, is it okay to be unsure? Is it okay to be unsure about God? In a world full of people and in a time, most of us who were raised in church, I'm not even gonna ask because I already know the numbers. Statistically, most of you were made to go to church. And you were made to go to church by people who believed what they saying was gold. Couldn't hardly tell them nothing. And they co-signed God's name to everything. Lord told them everything to do. And half the reason why some of us didn't want to have nothing to do with church is because we was raised by people who talked a lot and God didn't do nothing. I said it in the offertory. Half the reason why PKs don't want to have nothing to do with God is because they saw their parents say all this stuff that God gonna do, and half the stuff didn't come to pass, and they had to pay the price for it. I'm standing on a corner in Zips. My friends got three-stripe Adidas, and I got Zips. See, I don't even know what Zips are, but Zips was Bobos. That's what we called them. It was shoes that weren't nice. Pants from the thrift store and clothes that were hand-me-down because church folk paid my daddy, who was a pastor, barely enough to take. I got to go to their house to get something to eat. I was talking to my best friend today, and I said, the only difference between your life and my life is my dad was there. But beyond that, I had WIC, I had government cheese, I had all the stuff. Why? Because the people at the church barely gave enough for my daddy, who said God had called him to even get me a bike. See, it gets uncomfortable when we talk about this because this part of the reason why our children halfway don't want to have nothing to do with God is because we've co-signed God's name to so much stuff that really wasn't him. Because we had to act like we were sure. We had to act like we were called. And we had to act like we was anointed. And we had to act like, well, God's hand is on me. And when the proof didn't come in, we had to make an excuse. And we made God look bad in our lack. Don't nobody want to say amen on this one. And so my question is it okay to be unsure? Is it okay to be unsure about God? I would contend it is. Because Gideon says to the Lord, now hold up. Let me make sure this is really you. Because when you've been raised in church, raised around the things of God, get enough God, get around enough Holy Ghost, get around enough, you know how to make the motions, and you know how to sound really spiritual, and you need to know, hold on, the Alpha and the Omega, and you know how to be churchy, and you can be so churchy that you're not real. All of a sudden, you saying God, and you can't even talk normal. What's up, heaven, brother? You're going, and everything is spiritual. You can't even run no more. You have to move quickly because you become so spiritually and so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. And you talk to the Lord, but don't talk to your children. And you talk to God, but you ask God to forgive you, but you don't forgive nobody. Let me get out of here. You'll serve communion, but can't bring nobody a plate. Let me leave this alone. You'll sweep up at the church house, but you can't help clean the kitchen in your own house. My contention is we learn how to be more spiritual than we learned how to be normal. One of the saddest things I've seen in my time on this planet is people who know how to do church better than they know how to do family. And you get around heathens who are more loyal to family than believers. We decided that the church was our family. That's what they taught us. That's Brother Johnson. That's Sister Watermelon to you. And you sow about Brother Applesauce and Sister Lemon Juice, and you sow with your fake cousins and your fake church family that you are rude to your own real family who may not know God because you're so sure about God that you're not able to admit that maybe you don't know him and maybe you're not sure and maybe you don't know what the scripture means. I got to get off this stage, Mom. Maybe you really don't know, but you got to front like you know because you can't admit that maybe there's an aspect of God that you don't understand. I'm sorry. I like the humility of Gideon. I like the fact that Gideon is like, look, I am hungry. I ain't ate in a while. This is a tough time. We are impoverished around here. We are broke. We are in tough. I don't know. This could be a dream. For all I know, I'm high. I need to know, is it God? This whole Midian story is there's a battle, and I'm going to get to the battle next week, but there's a battle. But before the battle, there's got to be a test. We all want to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We all want victory. Me too. But be careful that you don't go to battle before you know that the tests have been passed. And test number one is this really God? Is that really the Lord? Or did you just eat too much pizza last night? Every dream you have is not from the Holy Ghost. Some dreams is roast beef. God spoke to me. What did he say? But we got to be careful to test the spirit to see if it really is from the Lord. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with you saying, now, Lord, is this you? Lord, can I get a confirmation that this is you? Was that really God? If it's really the Lord, it can stand up to some scrutiny. If it's really the Lord, then you can bounce it off of an elder. I don't know how much it's really God. And nobody thinks you know what you're talking about. There's no one with wisdom who can say, that sounds like the Lord to me. I don't know if it's God if he's dealing with you in a way he's never dealt with anybody in the Bible ever. The Bible is a record of God's character and how he deals with people. And so if you have now decided that the Lord told you that you can steal any car you see, well, I'm going to show you Bible that shows you that thieving is wrong. And so you have to be careful to know, is it really God? When God is the source, he definitely will be the Savior. Now, I know he's the Savior. I know he's the Savior of the world, and I know we want him to be the Savior, me too. But when Peter is about to get out the boat, he says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come. Lord, if that's really you, let me walk on the water. Lord, if it's really you, give me a power to do something that I could not do in my own strength. And Peter gets out the boat and walks on the water, but he looks at the wind and the waves and he starts to sink because sometimes the circumstances make you give up your faith. Sometimes your faith is strong in the beginning until the wind starts blowing. Sometimes your faith is strong until in the beginning, until depression and difficulty and pain and heartache. Sometimes your faith is stronger in the good times than it is in the hard times. I need a witness in the room or around the world. Sometimes you start off real strong, but the going gets tough and the hills get hard to climb. And I found out a long time ago, but there's no doubt in my mind, I got to keep on going in spite of the circumstance. Peter focuses on the wind and the waves and starts to sink. But thankfully, it really was Jesus. Because if it's really Jesus, he'll save you. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with somebody who is all the way under the water, all the way drowned, all the way on life support, all the way, and they still are holding on as if to say that this is God. We all have to be careful in our full of faith and our stubbornness and our determination that we don't convince ourselves of something that's not God in the beginning. It is one of the most important questions we can ever ask. Is it really God? It's not really God just because it makes you happy. I would contend that God is going to have you do some stuff that's going to upset you for a while. Second test is in verse 2, where the Lord says to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel boasts against me. My own strength has saved me. My second test is, have you measured your strength properly? It's a test before you go into the battle. The Lord says, go gather your strength. And Gideon goes and gathers his strength. But when he comes back, the Lord says, yeah, that's strength. But don't get too confident in your own strength. I told you to measure your strength, but don't get ridiculous. Be careful and understand there's a part of it that's going to take your strength, and then there's a part of it that's going to be God. And there's a passage in Romans chapter 12 that says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather in sober judgment according to the measure of faith that God has given you. And so, yes, you should know what you can do. And then when you get to the end of yourself, you know what God can do. And the Lord is going to be careful that you will know what your strength is and what your strength is not. You don't have any problems. You shouldn't have any problems giving God praise, because God doesn't have any problems with you having glory as long as he gets the praise. God doesn't have any problems with you getting victory as long as he gets the praise for the thing that he did. He says to Gideon, now listen, this looks really great, but just because it looked great don't mean it is great. Just because it looks like you got a lot of folk with you don't mean that you're going to win this battle. And actually, I want you to measure your strength properly, because I want you to know what was you and what was me, so that when you get there, you won't forget that I did this and I did that. You might forget the Lord if you think you did it too much in your own strength. But if you realize, no, it was the Lord's doing, then you will be apt to give him the praise. And the thing about the praise is not just that God needs to be thanked. It's that praise opens up a door for his presence, and you're going to need his presence to keep what you got, and you're going to need his presence to get the more you see when you get to your next mountain. Because I would contend, and I am contending, it's what I do on this stage, that the mountain you see right now is nothing in comparison to what God really wants to do for you in your life. But you can't see it because of where you are. You got to climb this mountain to see the next mountain. But you're going to need his presence with you, because you can't get to the next mountain without going down the mountain you're on now and walking through the valley of the shadow of death and not fearing any evil, because he's with you. It's not that he'll never leave you through fear. He'll lead you through fear, but he'll be with you. You have to praise him for what he's done, because you need him to go to the next level. If I'm talking fast, it's because I'm running out of time, but I think the smart people are with me this morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? I don't have time to tell you all the colorful stories, because I took up all my time preaching about the offering, but I think the offering was good, so hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You can't stay where you are, but for you to increase, you must decrease. You have to decrease to increase. And some of us can't do it because we think we got where we are in our own strength. When you acknowledge that it was the Lord anyway, it's not too difficult for you to start all the way over, because God is the one that got you to where you are now. And if you find yourself in a situation where you don't have it, you can say, well, the Lord brought me that in the first place. The Lord is the one, and the same God that opened that door is the same God that can open up this door over here. And so it's not that God is just sitting around a glory hog. Lord don't need your praise. He got angels to praise him. And what's more, God knows who he is. The Lord ain't insecure. He knows exactly who he is. He knows what he did. He knows he's the Alpha. He knows he's the Omega. He knows he's the beginning. He knows he's the end. I think this is an important distinction to make. I'm going to make it really quickly. We talk about God as if he's just some kind of neurotic, insecure God to be thanked and praised. Thank you. As if he needs all this thanks from you and all this praise from you. God don't need all this thanks from you. He don't need all this praise from you. The thank and the praising him opens you up to sense that he's there, because you sense him in the moment when you praise God. You don't feel God and then praise him. You praise God and then feel him. If you are ever in a dark place in which you don't feel nothing, just praise the Lord. Somebody tell somebody. Somebody give me a witness in the building. If you've ever been in your darkest moment, you hear the sound really loud, you feel like you want to kill yourself, just start, put on a worship song. Put on somebody. Put on something that sings the worship and start to, I guarantee you, you feel God. Before you light up, why don't you worship the Lord? Before you take a shot, why don't you worship the Lord? Before you take a why don't you worship God? I tell you what, when you worship him, his presence comes in. And then number three, which I'm racing to get to so you can understand why I named this sermon this, is that the third test is, does God like my crew? Does God like my army? Does God approve of my community? This is a question we don't ask. We just figure we are who we with, and this is who I knew from the eighth grade, and this is who I grew up with, and this is from who I was on the street. But the one of the things that God is going to test is, yeah, who with you? Because there are some of us who can't go higher with our current group. The Lord is almost waiting for you to shed the losers so he can really bless you, because he can't bless you with the losers you have around you now, because they'll just suck everything. They'll just take everything you got. You got to shed them first before God. It's absolutely possible that God don't like your army. It's absolutely possible that the Lord is not taking you any higher because they're afraid. And it's hard to walk by faith surrounded by fearful people. It's hard to do the will of God and you got scaredy cats in your ear every second. It's hard for you to accomplish something great if you share it with somebody and all they do is warn you about the negative that could happen if it don't happen. That's not what you need. You need somebody who has been somewhere, who has done something great. I don't know who I'm talking to. You need somebody who can say, oh no, God is able. The Lord will make you see who's scared. Before you go into the battle, you need to say, is anybody scared? Anybody scared of this? All of y'all that are scared, all soft sissy suckers can go home. Because what I'm about to do is going to take God for it. What I'm about to do is going to take rock. What I'm about to do is going to take a rock at the bottom of you. And if you give up quick and you quit, I don't need you to quit on me in the wrong moment. I'm looking for somebody that's got some dog in them. Oh, hell my. I'm looking for somebody that's got a dog down on the inside. I'm looking for somebody who, if we down 20, the dog in them will speak up and they'll say, no, 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 I got a dog in me. Can they refresh? Take them down and let's see what happens when they go down to the brook. Can they refresh? Sometimes it's hard to have people surrounded around you who are always weak and always exhausted and always tired and always depressed and always upset and always sad, because they don't know how to come to the river and actually drink. You cannot be their source. Oh my Lord, I wish I had more time. You cannot be the source for everybody. You can't, if 90% of the time They just drain you. They don't know how to drink. They gotta know how to pray. They gotta know how to fast. They gotta know how to read their own Bible. You can't be God for them. You can't pull you higher and they lazy behind higher. You are going to have to let them dry folk with their dry lips stay exactly where they are. Just, it's not your fault they ain't in church. It's not your fault they don't know how to pray. It's not your fault they don't know how to praise. Not your fault they don't have no faith. A test for them is, can they refresh? When something hits them, do they get back up? We fall down, but we get back up. I may be down now, but you keep on watching me. God's about to turn. I might look bad right now, but late in the midnight hour. I done said that already, but it's a, when you, oh, don't sleep on me. I may be down right now, but this is not the end of my story. This is a comma in my story. This is not a period. I got more chapters to write. I'm only 41. I'm only 28. I'm only 55. I'm only 71. I got more time left for me to do something great. I don't like nobody that's scared of time. I want to be surrounded by somebody who says, oh, all I need is a year. All I need is a week. All I need is a couple of months, because my God will step in and turn my situation around. And if you're scared, then get the step in. Because I'm looking for some dogs. I'm looking for the folk that don't give up. I'm looking for the folk who know how to lap like a dog. Why must I be like that? Why must I change? Nothing but the dog in me. Nothing but the fight in me. Nothing but the God in me. Nothing but the strength in me. And don't tell me what I can't do, because I'll tell God on you. And God will say, oh yeah, look at what God can do. Need a witness in the building. Look at what my God can do. Before they even go down there, the Lord says, I'm looking for some dogs. I'm looking for some dogs. I'm looking for some bow, wow, wow, yippee. I'm looking for some dog. I'm looking for somebody who knows how to drink like a dog. Dogs are happy. Dogs are tireless. And dogs belong. Let me make this final point and I'll let you go. I know I'm over, but it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. If you don't know, I spent quite a bit of time in Jamaica. I'm like a fake Jamaican. I got a Jamaican mummy, and I spent quite a bit of time there. I love Kingston. And one of the things that you see in Kingston is dogs. Stray dogs. I never seen so many dog boobs in my life. Stray dogs just running down the street. And the thing that's interesting that I've noticed is there's a difference between a stray dog and a dog that belongs to somebody. The stray dogs that I was there walking the other day, a few weeks ago I was there, and I was out walking, and as I was walking, I saw a stray dog coming toward me. Now, most of the time when you see a dog, you get nervous, but the stray dogs are walking with their head down. The stray dogs are scared. The stray dogs are looking for every little meal. The stray dogs are terrified by anything. I'm halfway afraid of the stray dog, and the stray dog is afraid of me. As powerful as he is, he's scared of me because he's a stray. But you get a dog behind somebody's fence. You get a dog that somebody owns. You get a dog that somebody feeds. That dog barks like the house is theirs. As a matter of fact, as far as they're concerned, this is their house. And the owner got to go in and put them up to even let you in. What am I saying to you today? I'm saying everything you have is God's. This is God's church. Your house is God's house. Your car is God's car. You just bark real loud because you belong to Him. And when you belong to Him, you get iffy and huffy and upset about the stuff that is his like it's yours. Oh, I need a witness in the building. When somebody come near the stuff that's God's, you start barking out. You better back up off of what God has done in my life and what God has done in my situation. You better back up, because this is the Lord's doing. It is not my, I think it's mine, but it's his. Ooh, I think I'm preaching to somebody in here. You cannot be a stray dog forever. Stray dogs are scared of every little thing. Nervous about every little thing. But when you belong to God, when you belong to God, when the Lord is the one that feeds you and the Lord is the one whose stuff you protected, I'm preaching to you this morning. God looking for some dogs. God is looking for somebody who doesn't give up easy. God is looking for somebody who you can't scare them easily and quickly. And that's who you need in your camp. You need somebody with you who says, I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think. I don't care how they go. I don't care what goes on. I'll be right there, standing right there with you. We got here together. We gonna leave here together. I will be right. I ain't going nowhere. If you don't have people like that, you need to get some new people. I need a witness in the building. You don't need fair weather friends. You need people who will be with you through your dark place and with you through your tough place and with you when they're in trouble, when you're in trouble, when they're after you. That's who you need. Who can you call when you're in trouble? You need your company to be right. Your company must be tested. Can't go into this next battle with the company you got now. Maybe the reason why the Lord has not blessed you exponentially is because he don't like your company. It's either it's not him or you think it's you, or he don't like your crew. And one of the hardest things to do is to let go of your crew. One of the hardest things to do is to realize that they're really not for you. Oh, God. That you are sharing your heart with your enemy. And they smile in your face, and all the time they want to take your place. And they are looking at you, and they're jealous of you, and they're like, oh, you go, girl. And they're like, how you get somebody? You don't want nobody at your wedding who ain't glad you getting married, girl. Every one of your bridesmaids should be like, hello. They ought to be glad, because if God can do it for you, he can do it for them. You don't want no haters in your bridal party. Where's my cousin, Pastor Andy? And let her stay home. She don't like you. She never liked you. She can't be there. Because where you're about to go next, where you about to go next, you need fans there. Your critics, thanks. Thank you very much for your help. But I'm going higher in him. And I need folk around me who believe in me.
Thank you for tuning in today with World Overcomers. We hope our message has empowered you to embrace the balanced victory that God has designed for you. If you're ever in the Raleigh-Durham area, we would love for you to be our guest on Sundays at 10 a.m. Be sure to share this message with someone today, and be sure to follow us on all of our World Overcomers social media platforms. Until we meet again, stay blessed, and see you in the next episode.